Good evening. What a privilege it is to be able to bring the Word of God tonight. Tonight I'm in 1 Timothy, just as I'm teaching through 1 Timothy through the book at our Tacoma Bible study at the Carmen's house. I felt, even as I was studying for this message, that the Lord was preparing me to be able to preach it. And then pastor on my way to church this morning texted me and asked if I would be able to preach a message. And praise God, I think he prepared me for this moment. Hopefully he prepared you. Hopefully you guys came thirsty, hungry for the Word of God, as I hope to be used by God to feed the flock. Before I read our text, I'm going to introduce the book of Timothy and really just the area we're in. Paul set Timothy to be the pastor over Ephesus, over the church at Ephesus. He was a young man, and he was being despised. His youth was being despised, as chapter 4, verse 12 says. Paul told him to let no man despise thy youth. And if you look into the original languages, scholars tell me through commentary that these words actually mean that it was happening at that moment. And the same thing with the term in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. So this young pastor, his youth is being despised as he pastors the church at Ephesus. And he is neglecting the gift that is in him, as God has gifted him to preach and teach the Word of God. So he's set over this church, and there's false teachers that have come. In chapter 4, verse 1, he's told by Paul that the Spirit speaks expressly that some will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are those doctrines? That it should be forbidden that you marry and that you can't eat meats. So people are going to give heed to these. They're going to listen to these, and they're going to follow after them, and they're going to depart from the faith. And then they're going to start speaking these same lies and hypocrisy. So there's peril that's coming. There's peril that has already come. We see earlier in the book that Hymenaeus and Alexander have been turned over to Satan. Church discipline has been exercised upon them as they've blasphemed. They have been teaching heresies. And so there's peril that has happened. There's peril that's coming. Salvation from this peril is needed. And Paul is telling the young pastor Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells him in verse 15 of chapter 3, he tells him the purpose for this letter, that he's telling him that he wants to come visit him, but if he can't come visit him, he's writing him so that he may know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So that's the purpose of the book, and we want to keep that in mind as we look at this text. The text for this evening is chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word as we seek to honor it as we read it? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Tonight we're going to talk about that function of the pastor, is to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance or pay attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. You see all these words that are talking about his mind. You need to have your mind engaged in these things. Give attendance. Meditate. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You pray with me. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. God, the saving quality of your word. God, your saving work that you do. God, that it's in your character to be a saving God. And that you seek to use the pastor to save us. God, use his example to save us. God, would you work in us so that we understand this function of the pastor, we understand this phenomenon in the church and your purpose in it, and that we would step into line, we would fall into line with it, and that we would follow the example of our pastor, and that we would in turn follow his example of being an example, and then be examples to others around us, so that the blessing that comes from meditating on your word, the blessing that comes from being just consumed, given wholly to your word, would be evident to the world around us, and that people would follow that example and be saved to the glory of Jesus Christ. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the text here that we're in tonight, it doesn't just have application for pastors. As I've been talking and praying so far, I've already talked about that this isn't just to be listened to or to be read or to be understood by pastors. Paul telling Timothy this means something to you and me as non-pastors in the church of God. Paul tells Timothy he has to be a pastor, or as a pastor, he needs to be a good example, be an example of the believers. And he says later in verse 16, the result of this, he says, in doing all this, in taking heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, which we've established by reading before, that this is falls into this category of being an example to the flock. In doing this and continuing in them, meaning finish out this job, finish the race, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So salvation comes from this. Salvation is a great, great biblical term, a great biblical theme that whenever I hear salvation from the scriptures, Psalm 40 comes to mind. I love Psalm 40. It talks about the saving character of God. And just go there so we can have our appetite wet for this action of saving that God has. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. So picture this. Get this picture in your mind about someone in desperate need of salvation. I was crying out to the Lord. He inclined unto me. He leaned over, and he heard. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He told me which way to go. He took me off the unstable ground in the bottom of that pit, the miry clay, where I couldn't even stand up, much less try to climb out. And he picked me up out of that pit, and he put my feet on stable ground on a rock, and he established my goings, told me where to go. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You get that last part? Many shall see it and fear. So because I've been saved, because I have my feet put on solid ground, because of that, I'm going to sing a new song unto the Lord. And people are going to hear it. And that's going to be the profiting that we heard about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. They're going to hear about the profiting, the salvation that was given to me. And they're going to trust in the Lord because of it. They're going to see that. So this isn't an isolated event. This principle of being an example, being a good example. This isn't just for pastors. This general theme of being an example. It's definitely required for pastors, though. Think about the salvation that comes from this. This is your salvation and my salvation and pastor's salvation. Not necessarily saving a soul from hell, but saving from peril. Perils are coming. Perils are here. Perils came before, just as is chronicled throughout the book of 1 Timothy. Salvation from peril is given through the example of the pastor, through the good example of the pastor being in the Word. This is a humbling thing to be in need of rescue. If you're proud, like John talked about this morning, pride keeps you from humbling yourself and accepting salvation. So keep in mind the word of God that was preached this morning. Pride keeps you from being rescued. These false doctrines, they're a real peril. They're here, they're all around us. and false doctrine, being saved from false doctrine, don't be fooled. Salvation comes through true doctrine, through sound doctrine. Salvation is dependent upon your believing the truth, the person of the truth. There's only one way of salvation. It is through the truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the truth, and your salvation depends on that. False doctrine detracts from the truth. It nullifies it in the minds and hearts of the listeners. And it distracts from saving faith. So we need this salvation. This salvation that Paul is telling Timothy that he's going to be used by God to give to his people. We need this. So this, the salvation first, and then the example of the pastor. So how is he supposed to give this example? Look at the bits and pieces of this example. There's so many of them. In verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in all these different facets. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All these things. Imagine the weight that was placed upon Pastor Timothy there to be told that he had to be the example for the believers in all these different areas. So what do you do? What do you go from? Where do you go from there when you're told that? Would you take a class on each one of these little pieces, right? So that you can be a professional in words, in conversation. Conversation's Old English for your life conduct. Or in charity. Would you need to read books on all these things so that you can become the expert and be the example in all these things for the people of God? We just need one book. Really, just one. And he says that in verse 13 after he gives that long list. He says, to be this example, I want you to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. These are all talking about facets of Scripture, things that you do with the Scripture. You read it. You exhort from it. You teach doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. This is the... what he's to do. He is to concentrate on the Scriptures, to give attendance to meditate upon, to give heed to the Scriptures. So this example that Timothy's to be, it's understood by fathers, by mothers, by anybody who's in authority. If you are an authority, and even when you don't think you're an authority, people are looking to you as an example. If you can understand the idea of being a good example, then people are looking to you and they're going to follow your example in some way. My little boy, he's 4 years old. Noah is. He's back there hiding. He's 4 years old and he can understand the idea of being an example. And his little sisters are looking to him. They follow him. Every little thing. He'll do something silly and he'll get punished for it. And then his sisters will follow right after and do the exact same thing, thinking maybe there's going to be a different result. But there's not. So even a four-year-old little boy, he understands this idea of example. Maybe not, definitely not as fully as you and I should, but he understands it. So this reality was really highlighted to me as I was going through family devotions in 1 Kings chapter 15. We were reading about these kings and how one after another came, and there was nobody doing right. And one, his name was Nadab, the son of Jeroboam. In 1 Kings chapter 15, 26, chapter 15, verse 26, he said, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. This king walked in the way of his father, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. First thing we need to think about in being a good example to others around us, to our children or anything, is the glory of God. We gotta understand that God deserves our faithfulness. God deserves our holiness. But there's big results in positive or the negative, whether you're a good example or a bad example. And one of them is your children. Leaders have followers, whether you realize it or not. Good examples or bad examples. It's just a function of leadership. And there's higher accountability for leaders. Higher accountability. James chapter 3 verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." There's accountability for people in leadership. So when you understand that people are following you, understand you have a great accountability. Paul didn't tell Timothy to do this just as an isolated event. He followed this principle. Paul lived this out. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Peter told the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said to be in samples or examples to the flock. So what's the word mean? We've talked a lot about what the word means, being an example, people are going to follow you, but this actual word, when you look into the original language, the definition of it, I thought was very interesting. It said it was the mark of a blow. Doesn't immediately give me anything correlating to an example, does it? The mark of a blow, meaning that when you hit something, there's a mark left, right? When you hit something, then it makes a certain mark. And then if you hit something with that same something, then it's going to make a similar mark, right? So this idea of being an example means that you're this mark that has been the impact of something. So a good illustration that comes to mind, the only thing I can think of at the moment, and as I've been studying, was leather stamping. I don't even know if that's what it's called, but I did it once when I was a kid. You get these little designs, and you get a piece of leather, and you smack it with a hammer, and it leaves a print. It leaves a mark, right? And so this word, for example, is like that mark. Paul's telling Timothy to be this mark. Be impacted by God, right? So the illustration follows this way, that if you're impacted by God, it's like being impacted by that stamp, right? The stamp is God, and you're to be impacted by God. And in such a way that people emulate that. People want to be marked like that. People want to be that mark of God on their life, on their situation, the people around them, be impacted by God in that same way. So Paul's calling Timothy to be impacted by God in such a way that people want to be impacted the same way. And to do that, he tells them to read the scriptures, to exhort from the scriptures, to teach the scriptures. So in all these different ways, in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith and purity, all these are coming from one book. And you'd say, well, you can't just do it from one book. You gotta have other books. You gotta have other resources. There's myriad resources that we can go to. But the scripture says, 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Say, that's good. That's all good stuff. But you probably need a little bit more. No. It says that the man of God may be perfect, which means complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the scriptures that is profitable for all these things. We need to understand them. We need to be taught them. We need to be exhorted from them. And there's definitely room for learning from other people. They have different insights, but always they give us insights. They help us to understand the scriptures. This is where we get what we need. It's from the scriptures. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, he said, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season." And do what with it? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Man, some people don't want to have doctrine. People don't want to find things out. They just want to go about their life and go to church and that's enough understanding. Everything I get from church, that's enough understanding. I don't need anything else. No, this example that pastor gives us of reading exhortation and doctrine, this is something that he's to give himself wholly to. All the way. Be all in. Up to his ears in it, is what one scholar said the word meant. Up to his ears in it. He's to be all in it. Not just on Sundays, He's supposed to be given wholly to it so that there would be a visible profiting from it, so that we would all see it. So give yourself wholly to them. And then the blessings that come from it, this word, give yourself wholly to them, this reminds me of Psalm chapter 1. Go to Psalm chapter 1. It's awesome that God started out the book of Psalms with this one. The great book of Psalms. In Psalm chapter 1, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." That's God's word. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." That'd be something like giving yourself wholly to the word of God. Be meditating it day and night. And what happens? What's the result? Verse 3 tells us about the blessings of being given wholly to the word of God. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The one that meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. This is what the pastor is to be. He's to be given wholly to the word, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So it's our part. That's what the pastor is supposed to do. That's what Paul is telling Pastor Timothy, and by extension, all pastors of the New Testament churches. That's what the pastor is supposed to do. What about us? What are we supposed to do? One, we can encourage our pastor to do this. We can encourage our pastor to get away and into the word. Whatever he needs to do to get away and into the word, so that he can be given wholly to it, and so that his profiting may appear to all. This is his duty. This is his calling. So a lot of the times, what I thought before studying this out was that we, especially as deacons from Acts chapter 5, were to be serving the tables. We're to be doing whatever we need to do to pastor, so that pastor can be given to the word and to prayer, right? But I've always thought that that's just so he can be able to preach. He's got to preach on Sunday. He's got to preach on Wednesday if he's doing that. He's got to teach school ministry and pass things on to able men that are willing to do the same. But it's not just that. It's so that he can be blessed by it, so that he can be in the word and be affected by the word, so he can be impacted by God in such a way in his personal life, so that people see his blessing. So the people that see the blessing of God on his life for doing so. So it's not just so he can be the machine that pumps out sermons, right? So we can be fed, which is a duty of the pastor and a privilege. I know from hearing from our pastor, it's a privilege and a joy for him to do so. But it's not just for that we need to encourage him to get away into the word. He needs to be impacted in such a way that it's visible, that the profiting that God gives him because of that is visible to us, so that we can see it and we want to be that blessed, and we want to follow his example of being in the word and be blessed like that. So that's number one of our action items as people in the church. The other one is to actually follow his example. As he reads the scriptures, we're to listen. When he reads them, we listen. It's not time to check our cell phone. When pastor decides that he's going to back up a couple verses so that we can have context, so that we can actually understand the scriptures, which is a beautiful thing that he does, I think. It's not time to slump the shoulders and be like, "Oh, here it goes again. He's going to read a big, long section." It's time to lean in and listen and pay attention, because he's feeding us. As 1 Peter chapter 5, let's read for, so that we have this in the back of our mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter is talking to pastors. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Here's the command that he gives to the pastors. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock, being examples to the flock. So keep that in mind. That's the general command given to elders, to pastors, those called bishops, overseers in the church. Feed the flock of God. Be examples to him. So as he reads the scriptures, we listen, we lean in, we get fed the word of God by our pastor as he obeys this command and reads the scriptures. Same thing with Russell when he comes up and reads the psalm in the morning. It's the beginning of the morning, right? It's the beginning of the service and we're kind of getting warmed up into it. And so maybe we didn't turn off our cell phone yet. And so that's time to go down. And I'm talking this, so fluently because that's me. I've done that before. And, so I'm preaching this to myself. We need to be ready for that. We need to come thirsting for that, hungering for that. It's time. The word of God is going to be read to us as the congregation, as the gathering of the church of God. God's going to feed us through this in a special way. We're to do it at home too, following this example, but it happens in a special way here at church. So we're to follow his example in the reading of scripture. So our part to that command is to listen when he reads it. And it's also to do it at home. Do it when we leave this place. Be given wholly to the reading of scripture. Be fed by God. Be in it. Be meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. Be blessed by it. Exhortation, our part of this command, our way to enable pastor to do this command or to support him as he goes about obeying this command, is to do what exhortation is meant to do. What does exhortation mean? It means to move to action. So when pastor exhorts us, we should be moved to action. We should consider what he's moving us toward and how we can fulfill that as the word of God calls us to, as he's communicating the word of God to us. Be moved to action by the exhortation of the pastor. And then, another facet of that, following that, obeying that command for us, would be to, in turn, exhort others. Whatever position God has you in, as a father, exhort your children. As a mother, exhort your children. Or brothers and sisters in the faith. Or people at work, exhort people to obey the word of God and be saved. Follow his example in exhortation. Follow his example in doctrine. Doctrine, as I said before, is teaching. Pastor is to be given wholly to this. He's to be given wholly to doctrine, to be studying the word of God, not just so he can memorize what one says or memorize what a verse says in Genesis and then one in Revelation, but so that he can mix them together, so that he can make them work together and give the understanding of both of them. They're both true and they're in their context and they can be harmonized. And that's what it's talking about, this doctrine, this teaching that comes from the scriptures. Systematic theology be an example of it. Just understanding the doctrines of the scriptures, biblical theology. He's to be given to that. And to follow his example in that, we'd be studying the scriptures on our own as he studies them, learning the scriptures, learning the doctrines of the scriptures as he teaches them to us. Understand that this is the work of God in saving us. Is pastor fulfilling this command? This is the work of God to save us. So we're to be in the Word. Before you can be in the Word and have it do any good for you, though, you must be saved. Pastor is an example of this. Many people around this church, most people in this church, are examples of this, being saved by the grace of God. Whatever you do in following the pastor's example, you could do everything the pastor does, A, B, and C, all down the list. But if you're not saved, you're the enemy of God, no matter what. If you haven't repented of your sins and trusted in Christ and believed on him by faith, you're the enemy of God, no matter what. No matter how good of an example you are to your children, no matter how good an example you are to the people at work or people on the streets, whatever you do, It doesn't make you any more friendly with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way to have peace with God, is through Jesus Christ. So don't try to follow examples of the pastor in accordance with the work of God in the church before being saved. Flee to Christ. Run to Him as you are condemned without that by your sins. You know your sins. Nobody needs to remind you of them other than to declare the law of God that condemns you, which says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You shall not make any graven images or bow down yourself to them. You should keep holy the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. And you shall not covet. These commands from God condemn the whole of humanity. They condemn you if you are not in Christ. Flee to Him. Believe the gospel. For believers, be blessed. This is the command that's implicit in the scripture. Be blessed like pastor is blessed. It says that pastor needs to give himself wholly to the word. It says literally, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. And these things are the gift that was given him in the previous verse. The gift that's in him in verse 14. The gift of being a pastor, teacher of the word of God. But when it applies to you, it's whatever gift God has given you. Be given wholly to that gift. However God's gifted you to serve His church, to serve Him by serving His church and serving the community around. Be given wholly to it. And then in being given wholly to it, your profiting shall appear to all. This is a great promise God gives to Timothy. He says, when you give yourself wholly to this, your profiting will appear to all. It'll be visible. So follow the pastor's example, the joy of the Lord that he shows in his life for being obedient to these commands. Follow that example and be blessed. This isn't a grievous thing the Bible commands us to do. It says, be blessed like pastor is blessed, by being given wholly to the scriptures. Be impacted by God in such a way that other people want to be impacted the same way. This is your example that you set. As you obey the scriptures, people see when you proclaim the name of Christ. People are watching. They're seeing if you're blessed by this. And if you aren't, you're being a bad example. And why would people want to be given to the scriptures? Why would people want to obey the scriptures and be saved when they see you not giving yourself wholly to the scriptures and being blessed by it? It's the way this text is working. So do people see the blessings of God in your life? Do they want the same for them? This is the encouragement Paul gives to Timothy. I'll end with how he encourages Timothy in this. Right before he says all these things, he says in verse 10, or verse 9, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is what Paul says when he's highlighting a scripture, when he's saying, hey, check this out, this is important. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Be encouraged by that and be exhorted by that to obey the scriptures and the work of the Spirit in your life. Pray now. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your word and to be taught by it, to be exhorted by it. God, we pray for understanding. God, that you'd open up the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, so that even in spite of the messenger, that your word would affect people, that you would impact people through your word given and spoken. God, we pray for obedience. God, for the hearing of faith by which you work miracles. God, you change people's lives. And God, we're so grateful for it, for your salvation that you've given so freely. God, and for the salvation you want to work in the church, salvation from false doctrines and false teachers and people that just want people's money and people that are doing things greedy for filthy lucre, not for the glory of God. God, we thank you for our pastor as he's a faithful servant, God, and for the work of God that you're doing here under his leadership. God, we pray that you heal his family, God, that you give him rest and strength to fulfill the work that you've called him to do. God, we pray that you give him good rest. We pray that you give us a desire to encourage our pastor in the fulfillment of these commands, God. And we pray for his blessing so that people would see his blessing and it resulting from being given wholly to your word, and that we would not only encourage him to take the time that he needs to do that, but that we would follow his example, that we wouldn't be sheep that buck as the shepherd tries to bring them into the fold. God, that we would love our pastor, that we'd know him, that we'd count him worthy of double honor. We pray for your glory in this place as people read your word, hear your word, and obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen.